to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 387 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we have a special guest interview with Mark Daniel. You might know him from a lot of different attractions at Hollywood Studios over the past years, but most currently the last 5 years, you've seen him all over TV and the live streaming at the Disney parks. Mark's been bringing us some great parades, some great fireworks, and some just great activities. On top of that, it doesn't hurt to have a great ABC show too, bringing you information from the parks all the time. Well, Jimmy and I were lucky enough to talk with Mark last week, and we wanted to bring that to our podcast listeners also. Now, the only thing that's going to be different from the live cast is I'm going to cut out the 2 minutes we have of our intro music. I'm going to give about 30 seconds of it, and then I'll fade it out, and we'll go into the interview. However, if you have a chance, check out our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Podcast, and go to the video section, and you'll be able to watch the live show from last week if you want to check it out. But the thing I want to point out is that first minute and a half, 2 minutes that Jimmy put together has a lot of pictures from over the last 8 years of the Disney Nerds. And it's a pretty nice little history of our adventures in the parks. The people we've met up with, our meetups, and some of the events we've had. So if you have a chance, go over to our Facebook page and check that out. Okay, guys, so now without further ado, because this is a long interview, but it's worth every second. Here we go. Here is Mark Daniel. Jimmy, myself, take it away, Jimmy.
And we're live. Hello, Disney nerds.
Hey, guys.
How's everyone doing tonight? Thank you for joining me and Ed. Hope everybody is doing fantastic. I think we have a great show lined up for you tonight.
We definitely Edward.
Edward is not necessarily a stranger to the Tuesday night live show, but he's not here all the time. So how are you?
I'm doing really well, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thanks.
And I want to say hello to all our podcast listeners too for tonight.
Absolutely. Because although we're doing this live, this will also be a podcast, our audio podcast episode as well. So
welcome, guys.
Ed, I put up a poll today in on the page and in the group, and the question was Dole Whip or Dole Whip Float?
Float.
Float.
Best of both worlds.
I agree.
Yeah.
I actually read I read one response that said, you know, the Dole Whip Float, because you get the Dole Whip and then you get the pineapple juice as the float, and then once you're about halfway through, you mix it together and it's like a shake.
Yeah, slushy or shake. Yeah, definitely. So, best of both worlds. Hey guys, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Jason, Jonathan, David Chambers, Kathy and Adi, Doug, Tyler. Hello, Jody. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. Cool. I'm going to do our intro while we share the show out. If you guys could do the same while the intro's rolling, we'll see you back in about 2 minutes. Ed, I saw a couple shots of you there in that intro clip.
I saw a bunch of you in there too. How about that?
Past meetups, a bunch of past meetups. For those of you watching that don't know, I'm in New Orleans. Ed is in Philadelphia. So we're kind of, we don't always see each other. But just about every November, minus COVID November, since we've started the podcast almost 8 years ago, we every year we do our, you know, our meetups and in November in Disney. And other than COVID, we've been there together every year.
Yeah, we're talking about eighth year coming up, so pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Tonight we got a special guest for you. I'm gonna not even mention his name. I'm just gonna play this real quick and let you guys see who we have. I mean, it's obviously in the title of the show, but just in case you guys don't know who he is, you should know who he is after this quick intro for him. So let me switch that to full screen.
Crossing the rope bridge on Wild Africa Trek, this is where you get to see massive crocs and hippos. Where? Right down there. Come on, we're going to get even closer.
Hey everyone, Mark here with Inside Disney Parks, bringing you the latest from our parks around the world.
The nighttime shoot for the Thanksgiving episode, we're going to do it right now.
The Headless Horseman.
You know what time it is. It's Halloween time.
This Halloween expansion is spooktacular.
There's so many exciting things to check out. I'm going to start right here in Spain. Buen provecho from the Food and Wine Festival. It's only appropriate that we take a look back to where it all began at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Things heat up at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex for the 2016 Invictus Games.
Sam, yep. Put your finger right in there.
Right there?
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Right. Mr. Trump!
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, our friend, the man, the myth, the legend. In the title, I put MC, Disney MC, but God, he's so much more than that. I just had limited space. Mr. Mark Daniel.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Ed. How you doing today?
Hey, Mark. You? How's it going? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And hello, nerds, Diz nerds.
We've got a lot of baby.
So how's it going, Mark? How are you?
I am excited to be on the show, and I had a good day today. I just got off work, and it was a good day today. It rained a lot here in Florida in the parks, and it also rained on Batu in Galaxy's Edge, and it was a good day.
I'm in New Orleans, and we just got past that. So all that rain, we had it all week. Like, it just started clearing up here. So I think we kind of sent it down toward you.
We could take it, man. We could use some rain. The grass can use some water.
Thank you, Tammy.
Hey, Tammy. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you for sharing. Yes, I agree. It's my wife, Kim. I agree that the music for that makes me happy. Jody, for our snack. You turn this.
Ow.
There we go. The Dole Whip ended up, Dole Whip / Dole Whip Float ended up winning our March tournament of snacks. Mark Daniel, Dole Whip or Dole Whip Float?
Oh, man. I see I'm a traditional, so I think I'll go with Dole Whip in a cone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. I like to crunch that cone afterwards. So yes. it's like an ice cream for me.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
George says he loved Mark before you were cool.
Which was like yesterday. I'm still not cool, George.
I was going to say that was completely impossible because you've always been cool.
Oh, no.
Mark, tell us about yourself. Mm-hmm. How'd you get your start and how'd you end up with Disney?
Oh, man. My introduction to working for Disney actually was, let's go back in time, Super Bowl 25, Tampa, Florida. And I forget who was playing, but it was big. And Disney used to produce a lot of halftime shows before and after Super Bowl 25. And this was my first introduction. They had a halftime show featuring New Kids on the Block. Remember those guys? Step by step.
Yeah, ooh, baby. That was a good halftime show.
Yeah. And what they did was they had like I think 3,000 kids from different nationalities. And it was kind of like a small world theme. And So they still wanted more kids. I wasn't part of that group of kids, but they came to my school because I went to school in the area in Tampa because I grew up in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And they needed people to put together the stage. And also my brother was working as well. Well, we weren't really working as much as we volunteered to help Disney. And they also had these big inflatables. So I was part of the crew of teenage kids that ran out and put a stage together in pieces and built like the Small World facade. And all these thousands of kids came out. And then they had these giant balloons. And my brother was part of the Pluto balloon squad. And they pulled it out and they all inflated. It was like Chip and Dale, Pluto, Mickey Mouse, and those things. And that was the halftime show where Steph by New Kids on the Block performed. And Whitney Houston, rest in peace, sang the national anthem.
Wow.
Okay.
And that was the first time ever the national anthem got up to like top five on the Billboard charts after she sang it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember her singing. That was a big deal. The job yeah, was, with that was very iconic and very, it was so well done. I remember not too long ago because some people weren't happy with this year or the past few years, Super Bowl halftime shows seems to be they're getting some criticism, but you know, I saw something not too long ago that they were talking about some of the better ones and then some of the more iconic ones. And that one definitely came up. And I remember that because a lot of the sets were almost Small World, kind of Mary Blair themed. And they had all the kids there. It was very, very cool. I didn't realize that was the same one that Whitney Houston sung the national anthem, which is makes it cool on its own for sure.
Yeah. And so this is the time when Gummy Bears was part of the Disney Afternoon on television. And I remember I was starstruck because I was waiting to before we went out on this field for halftime, Disney characters started walking by and the Gummy Bears walked by because they had characters there like Mickey, Minnie and the Disney Afternoon Gang. And I was so starstruck. Forget the football players. Forget everybody.
It wasn't Mickey and Minnie. The Gummy Bears.
The Gummy Bears walked by and I was like, Zummy Gummy.
That's so fantastic.
Oh, boy, colder than Hoth. Man, you better get inside a Tauntaun time.
I hear they're lukewarm. All right, so that's your first thing with Disney, and where we go from there?
We go from there. So then after that, you know, they came to my high school, and I got a job in high school at Walt Disney World in Orlando at Magic Kingdom. And my first job ever, I got lucky, was in the character and parades department. So when I came in, my first job was what was called a canopy carrier in the Electric Light Parade. So to give you a visual of that, there was a canopy of lights that beautiful dancers, men and women, would dance on. But you needed grunts to carry that lighted canopy that couldn't dance. And that was my job.
Nice. No pressure, and you still get to be in the parade.
That's right. And, you know, hey, I felt so famous because, you know, it was like carrying that canopy and waving at people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wore knickers and white tights and shoes with buckles on them and a puffy pirate-looking shirt and a giant floppy hat with a big old feather in it.
Family members and, you know, friends were going to Disney's like, I'm going to see you in the parade, Mark. Awesome. I like it.
That's yeah. So I did the Electric Light Parade. And then after that, I did it. This is a historic moment as well, too. So I got to be a part of that. This is when the Electric Light Parade left Walt Disney World and went all across to Disneyland. And when it went to Disneyland, Spectral Magic came to Walt Disney World, and it was a unique technology driven parade because Electric Light Parade, you were just all one color, but mm-hmm. Spectral Magic Parade, it went from just the white lights into colored lights with the music and would change back. And so I was able to do, I had the honor of doing Spectral Magic when it came to Magic Kingdom.
Oh, nice. And,
The intro for our audio podcast is the Spectral Magic.
Yeah. It took me back.
Ed is a huge. I love Spectral Magic, but that's because of Ed. He's such a huge fan of Spectral Magic. So,
it's a beautiful parade now for its time as well. I've seen the parade at Disneyland, which is amazing.
Right.
Their nighttime parade, but Spectral Magic, of course, is near and dear to my heart. It's different. It's still, I feel like it still has the spirit of the Electric Light Parade, but a little bit more technological for the 90s, if you will.
Sure. Sure. I love that little like swirl of music, and then the lights would change, the whole parade would change the colors.
Yeah.
And then it would go black and white and stuff like that. What did you do on the parade?
I can tell you I did canopy carrier in the parade, but I don't want to reveal any more my magic beyond that. So, that's what I can say about that. You know, yep. I also did it, but let's say I was friends with a couple people.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That I can see eye to eye. Right. That's for the kids out there. I don't want to say much more than
that. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Fair enough. Beautiful.
All right. Where'd you go from there?
From there, I went over to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Back then, it was called MGM Studios. Mm-hmm. And this is a little historic walk for all your nerds out there. And this is great. That's why I love being talking to you nerds, because you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Went to Disney's Hollywood Studios and was able to do the first ever Star Wars Weekends. And this was Star Wars Weekends was a big old fun mess. It was the first time we were doing something like that, Star Wars Weekends. And we were like all working together, putting it together, mm-hmm. and really getting the stars in. And what was fun about that first Star Wars Weekends is it was all about, I don't want to name who was there, because I could be wrong for the first one, but let's just say definitely, I know who was definitely there, and that would be Peter Mayhew, Jeremy Bullock, those are the two, I'm sure, Warwick Davis, Kenny Baker. Say,
he was pretty much there most of the...
Yeah, yeah. I know Mark Hamill did a few, and Billy Dee Williams did a few, Carrie Fisher, but I don't want to really, say exactly, but I've done them, I did a lot of them, and they were all there when I was there, but what I'm saying is that it was so much fun because we got to hang with the people from Star Wars, the stars from the films. And it was so much fun because, this is a time back then, too. There were no more Star Wars. It was just mm-hmm. that was done. So it was just about having fun, reminiscing with these just now regular people. I mean, I don't even think Mark Hamill at that time had a career as a voiceover artist as he did at that point. Really?
It's so bizarre, like the first time you do something like that. I mean, just with our podcast, here and there we've gotten invited to like media events through Disney. And I got to attend one a couple of years ago for Toy Story 4, where we got to go watch a screening, but then we also got to go watch a panel that had Tom Hanks and, just all the stars of Keanu Reeves and Tim mm-hmm. Allen and to be able to sit in that small theater backstage in Hollywood Studios and four rows away from these people that, like, it's just bizarre. So it's a little bizarre, mm-hmm. But it was very cool. So that's so cool. Sometimes you got to pinch yourself a little bit that you're hanging out with all these people that were on the big screen. And
yeah, I mean, I was there. I actually got to host what you're talking about at Studios where they showed Toy Story 4. And I remember it was a secret, and I could not believe that Keanu Reeves was there. And I also couldn't believe that Tom Hanks was there. Like, Tom Hanks is arguably, they're both arguably the biggest people in Hollywood.
Definitely.
Sure.
And I'm back then, I'm looking at you guys to watch the film, and I'm like, they don't know what's about to happen right now. They have no idea. They think Buzz and Woody are coming out here and just waving at them, but it's beyond Buzz and Woody. And I remember when they came out, it was so amazing when I got to introduce and say Keanu Reeves, I got to say Tom Hanks and the rest of the actors that are also equally as amazing.
Oh yeah. Right. So many really good ones.
Yeah. I remember I took a moment. I said, okay, everybody, you filmed it and you got the shot. Now I want you to put your phones down and really applaud, because this is a one-time only thing. And this is historic. and let's show these actors some love for coming all the way out here. So
it was really crazy. It really was. And I learned something interesting that I didn't know before, you know, watching the panels, is I didn't realize that they don't ever see each other during the recordings of these movies.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, they don't. Sometimes they get lucky enough.
Parts individually. It's
yeah. And it's like, you know, because it's about time and stuff, but like, you know, any, you know, and we all know if you ever watch the DVD extras and stuff, which makes it even more amazing, the acting involved, because it's literally like somebody just off going, reading the lines, kind of monotone sometimes. They're not really acting it out, but it's really about the actor delivering it, you know, mm-hmm. and really acting that out. When you see Buzz and Woody talking together, you really believe they're talking in real time.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. That's the crazy part. Yep.
And it's kind of cool. The animators always take a little bit of those actors, and you can see Tom Hanks. You can see, you know, a little bit Woody there too, and all the different characters. Keanu Reeves, you can definitely hear a little bit of him in that, you know, character too. So,
yeah.
I remember when I was a teenager going to then MGM Studios when they had the original backlot tour, when there were actual animators on site, mm-hmm. and they were animating Pocahontas, and mm-hmm. one of the windows we walked by, they were animating John Smith, but they had a picture of Mel Gibson, and they don't make mm-hmm. it look identical, but they put enough in there to that you in your mind you kind of tie that animated picture within the voice together to come up with this idea who he is.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like between I really felt like that was something we looked for with the hand-drawn animation back in the day, especially when they made anthropomorphic characters of the stars, you know, and that was fun for us to look at, right? And then watch the extras where you see Iago looks like Gilbert Gottfried, you know, you know, the genie looks like Robin Williams, you know, and it's like that was the fun to watch, you know, because, you know, especially with those films. Especially when they had human characters and they would add in like an anthropomorphic animal that's a famous person. You look for the person in it, you know, even Scuttle from, you know, The Little Mermaid, you know. Is it Buddy Hackett? What's his name? Am I wrong?
The seagull.
The seagull.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Buddy Hackett, right?
It was, yep.
Okay, good. Woo! Disney nerds. Woo, boy. And they'll attack me on here. But, you know, it looks like him, right? The beak is his nose.
Sure, the way he acts. Yep, moves around. Definitely.
We are talking about Robin Williams, the genie, a few years ago. Man, I say a few. It's probably six years ago. We got to interview Jerry Reese, and I don't know if you know, familiar with him. A lot of people aren't, but he directed The Brave Little Toaster, for one.
Okay.
But he also directed, like an unbelievable amount of theme park attractions. Oh, like, he directed Aerosmith and the pre-show for Rock and Roller Coaster. Oh, wow. Okay. And, you know, Felicia Rashad and the pre-show and the other guys.
Dinosaur.
Yeah. But he also directed Robin Williams and Walter Cronkite in a show that you used to go to before you went on the backstage short. It was called Back to Neverland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a lost boy.
Yes, and he was the one that pointed out to us that in Aladdin, when the genie comes back with the goofy hat and the Hawaiian shirt, it was an homage to that film, because in the beginning of that is they're doing an interview with Walter Cronkite, and Robin Williams comes up as a tourist, and he's got the goofy hat and the Hawaiian shirt and the big camera on.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was cool. That was so cool that they, you know, they paid that homage to his performance in that in the freaking movie that's Aladdin, which is a great movie. So it was an homage to that little animated that little thing that they put together. So it's incredible that they think of all those little details like that to tie you back that some people would not know.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I love the most about the detail, the attention to detail that Walt started, that Disney continues to this day, is the attention to details. And it goes through the lands, it goes through Galaxy's Edge, it goes through Pandora, it goes through Fantasyland. It's like, if you just want to walk through and see what you see, that's fine. If you want to look deeper, there's more to see. And I think, I hope we never lose that, you know. I hope we never lose the fact that it all started with a mouse, quote, unquote. But also to the fact of how deep the nerds, you guys listening and watching, want to go, as deep as you want to go. You know, you get those little Easter eggs, and we eat them up, right?
Yeah. I tell you what, I'm sorry, Jimmy, real quick.
Go ahead.
Galaxy's Edge proves that they're continuing it on. Mm-hmm. When Galaxy's Edge came out, and the amount of stuff that was just underneath, the details and the different languages and stuff like that, it's just phenomenal. So it continues on, definitely.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, and this has been going on for a long time, but one of my biggest tips when we do like a podcast episode that's about, you know, tips to visiting Walt Disney World, or I've actually never been to Disneyland. My number one tip is slow down.
Yeah.
When you get into Walt Disney World, you get in the Magic Kingdom, slow down a little bit. Because I see so many people, they go for the first or second time, or go once every few years, and they run right by so much cool stuff to get to the roller coaster. And and I'm like, all these little things, all these little details that are built in, you know, being on Center Street where the window says dancing lessons, but if you sit there for a few minutes, you're going to hear them dancing up there. You're going to hear the window that says singing lessons. You're going to hear them singing, doing voice lessons. And those little details, I'm like, that's what separates Disney from a theme park.
Yeah.
Or an amusement park. That's what makes amusement it a theme park. Amusement park. You know, those little details, the attention to detail and the story that's built into everything there. If you look at anything there, it's there for a reason. It's not just there just because. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the coolest things, I think. And that's my biggest recommendation for people. Slow down, pay attention. Mm-hmm. You're gonna miss the show. You're gonna miss the Dapper Dans if you're running down the street. Those things are great.
I think to what you said, to your point, I tell people the same thing when they go to Animal Kingdom. Slow down. Because Animal Kingdom is probably the most beautiful theme park. Mm-hmm. And especially when and it's a simple thing, especially when it rains and the ground is wet, because Animal Kingdom is designed to look like it's mud. Yeah. And you know, so when it's dry, you could tell it's cement, but when it's wet, you believe those bike tracks. In Asia, you see those footprints, you see the animal footprints, you see the leaf prints, and when it's wet, it just brings it to life even more. And that's the thing. Anytime they film a commercial at the theme parks, they wet the floor. Right. I mean, they always wet it. It just gives it that beautiful and reflects that light so beautifully.
Bill's got a question. I'm gonna do my best to do his question justice. Is Spectro Magic your favorite nighttime show, or is there another Illuminations that you enjoy more?
Well, I guess it's Illuminations. Oh, my favorite nighttime show? That's a great question. I don't know if you're asking me between the two of them.
No, I think he just means in general.
General. My favorite nighttime show. I do like Illuminations, but I think it would be... I really enjoyed when they had the Star Wars fireworks show at night and the laser projections, and that was called Star Wars: A Galactic Spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the technology behind it. I enjoyed the lasers with the projections, with the fireworks, with the sound. And it was the first time that I felt that the Emperor forced lightning like 1,000 people.
Because
there's that scene where he's laughing and he's like, they put the lasers down and the sound, and he's like, and it's just going across the trees.
Mm-hmm.
It was that really put me in the spirit. So I will say I enjoyed that, even though I like Illuminations, but it would be Star Wars: A Galactic Spectacular, the latest installment, because they always updated it.
Right. Yeah. Just the Starfighters flying on the buildings and then the lasers coming out of them, the perfect synchronization was great.
Yeah.
Because it was just everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, and when Darth Maul and the fire and
how high that fire was.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness. You could feel it. It was a lot.
One of the weird things we did, I want to say nerdy things, was that we watched that from the right in front of the theater. So, you know how you had that one pavilion where you basically had all the crowd behind it in front of the Chinese theater?
Yep.
Well, we were able to sit in front of that. There's like a park bench that literally you do the whole look up. And you never would have thought that would have been a great show.
When
that was a really good show. from where it was.
Oh, wow.
Me and Sam made it a better show.
Oh, well, they just created lightsabers that night. So they got up to a thousand or so people.
We did a lightsaber duel in front of thousands of people right there in front of all the show was going on.
So pre-show, you did a pre-show.
Yeah. Stan Solo, who's a second cousin to Han Solo.
Oh, nice. Scoundrel.
Yes. Han shot first. What are you most excited for? What's coming up? What are you most excited for? What's coming up?
Star Wars Hotel. Hmm. The Galactic Star Wars Hotel, but the Galactic Star Cruiser, which is the Halcyon. Because you guys are nerds, I got to talk that nerd talk. So the Halcyon, which will be coming to Earth soon. That's what I'm most excited about. That experience, and seeing how guests react to it, how guests come from that experience into Galaxy's Edge. Cause it's going to be truly immersive, man. You're going to, you know, I don't think we've ever slept Star Wars. I've woke up Star Wars.
Yeah.
I've had lunch Star Wars. I've had dinner Star Wars, but I haven't gone to bed Star Wars. And the Halcyon will allow you to sleep in a Star Wars experience and wake up in a Star Wars experience. So that's going to be so that's what I'm most excited about. I'm excited about Tron, but I'm most excited about, Tron exists already. So I'm excited about this unique experience that has, as far as theme parks go, has never been done before of a sleepover, an experience that you can experience for more than one day.
Multi-day, completely immersive experience.
I was going to say they equate it to like almost a cruise where you're
definitely
getting on your cruiser, your ship, your starship, yep, and you're basically on that and you're immersed for 2 to 3 days, whatever the stay is.
I mean, it's literally a cruise. It's on a ship. But yeah, and then the excursion is Batuu.
Well, I can't wait to see how they get from the hotel to the Batuu. I want to see the tech, you know, what goes on behind that.
Well, we're getting to see, you know, I work in Batuu, so I get to see some of the behind the scenes of how they're doing that. Hey, shout out to Greg. Thank you very much for putting me in the in with these amazing names. These are great friends of mine, Scoop and Ben. These are fantastic people. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I'm excited. I know it's going to be a shuttle, because the experience is, for you nerds out there, is that you're going to drive into a spaceport, which is awesome because Florida is an actual spaceport, technically. Right. If you had to get from space, you have to go to Texas
or Florida,
Cape Canaveral, or Florida. Yep. Like literally, I just hit me a couple months ago. I'm like, yo, we got a real spaceport. Like for real. So, yeah. You go to a spaceport, and that to get to the Halcyon. So it takes you, and the spaceport's at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And when you get there, as you know, they've revealed this already, you get on a shuttle that takes you to a galaxy far, far away, and you dock with the Halcyon and you get on. And then from that, when you have your excursion to Batuu, it flies close enough to a galaxy far, far away, and then that will shoot you back to Batuu. So that's going to be.
You muted.
I don't know what you missed. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Two words. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like to your point, Ed, how do they do that? How do they make that real? And that's what's going to be fun, like you said. Mm-hmm. And that what I said was, you know, the spaceport in Florida puts you on a capsule to shoot you to the Halcyon. And then when the day comes up and it's time for your day excursion on Batuu, boom, you know, back on the shuttle.
Nice. I wonder if they're going to be able to kind of experience the park, or is it just going to be the Batuu? I mean, does it matter where you're signed up for the hotel and then just the Star Wars part of it? Can't wait to see as we go along.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I...
Like the planet of like Toy Story Land and the planet of, you know, Sunset Boulevard and stuff like
that. Yeah. I'm not speaking from any type of knowledge, but, you know, I've never seen them have a ticket where you couldn't go to another part of the park. So I think it'd be a park you can go anywhere. I think it'd be your choice to not to say, you know what, it's on me. I don't want to go anywhere else. I just want to actually
stay in this.
But if you don't, you can walk away and, like you said, Ed, you can go ride Toy Story and come back. But I think some people will like commit. I think some people come dressed up and say, I'm only doing Star Wars, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm not even on Earth.
Right. And as for saying that, I'm sure there's going to be people that are dressed up. They're going to be full bore Star Wars, you know, linens and stuff like that.
There's people dressed up now.
True.
You're dressed up now. Somebody just said, are you dressed like Han or Lando?
He looks like he's got his Han Solo vest on.
I think he's Lando. I think it's Lando.
Nice. No. Good one, Stan.
All right, so back to you, Mark. So how did you get to where you are now with the Disney company as far as emceeing events and that? And really, I mean, at this point, you are the pre-show.
Yeah, you know, it's a mixture of, like, I forgot who mentioned it. I'm trying to see if I see it here. Shout out to the, I'm sorry, they, you know, they talked about Scoops and Ben, you know, and it's
George.
Shout out to George. Mm-hmm. George, it's like, you know, getting to work with these talented people, you know, you get to learn, you work with them, you learn from them. I moved from the parades and character department into the equity department. That's now they are actors, you know, that's where Ben and Scoop and those are equity performers or principal performers. Not necessarily singers, because at Disney you have your parade performers, you have your actors, you have your dancers, you have your singers. And then you have most of the performers at Walt Disney World can do all of that. A friend of mine, Louis Gervance, always called Walt Disney World the vaudeville, the new vaudeville, because it's where you can hone your chops. You know, you can do so many different things, and you do it daily. So I was able to move into, I auditioned and got a part as an actor and opened Disney's Animal Kingdom. So that was another amazing thing to do, was actually open a theme park. There was an idea for a younger type of actor to pretend to be a grad student in Dinoland, USA. And you mentioned the Dr. Marsh or Felicia Rashad and the pre-show for Dinosaur or Countdown to Extinction. So you nerds out there, Dinosaur was originally called Countdown to Extinction because it came out before the film.
Good one.
And people wondered why there was an iguanodon there and didn't know that he was the star of the film. So I became an actor, started working in Dinoland USA, and worked with an amazing actor by the name of Dennis Marsico, who was part of Streetmosphere at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Taught me a lot, and I just learned from different directors that were actors at one time. Also, too, there are a lot of directors that direct shows at the Walt Disney World Resort. So anytime you see a show with Mickey Mouse or a show with actors, different parades, those have show directors. So let's say, for instance, Spectral Magic has a show director, somebody who's got the vision and like make sure everything goes, the vision stays with what the parade is supposed to be.
Is that so like you can change out individual parts, but the vision stays on track?
Yes, it does. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. That's the idea behind the show director. You can change out different actors or different people in the show. Mm-hmm. The director is the one that's going to keep it fluid and keep the continuity going.
Exactly. Doing what a director does. Yeah. So just was able to learn a lot from different people, different my peers and different amazing actors. So, you know, it was a mixture of being humble, learning, working hard. And so I did Dinoland and I went to Epcot and did World Showcase Players, which gave me a whole new, for you nerds out there, World Showcase Players were actors in the parks that did stories like King Arthur and the Holy Grail, Cyrano's de Bergerac, Romeo and Edna. So it was a trunk show where we came out, we had three storytellers, and we would tell the story of Romeo and Juliet, but we include the audience and they would play the characters. I know a lot of you have probably seen those shows. Mm-hmm. So all those things are teaching me how to interact with guests, how to be funny, how to, you know, the art of improvising and the art of having knowing how to read the audience. And then I went to work at SAC in Orlando, which is a improv warehouse. Then I went to Comedy Warehouse. All those things got me to the point where, fast forward, where I got to do American Idol and be the warm-up host for that show. And that's when I was able to work by myself and use all the tools I learned from the years prior, working with my peers and show directors, and put that to use by myself. And that's when I was able to stand out, and the right people saw me and said, you know what, Mark, what you do, we want you to do it over here. And the same thing you're doing over here, do it over here. And that kind of grew into allow me to be in the position where I am, where I started doing the warm up for the Christmas parade for television, and hosting a lot of things, because they really, the energy and character I created was what they saw was a good fit for the live streams and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. They're perfect for what they do.
Oh, you
as far as the intro, as far as I think you carry kind of the excitement that we have watching the events. Really well. So it's like kind of we're watching it with somebody we really know too. So awesome.
That's good. Yeah, I 100% agree with Ed. It feels like when you're up there and you're introing this stuff, you just bring this level of energy that, like, I don't know that somebody could go up there and fake it. I don't think you could take somebody that's not, you know, somewhat of a Disney enthusiast and put them up there and have them act that out. I think I can see it. Like when you're up there, I feel it. I'm like, yeah, this dude, he knows. He gets it.
Yeah. And to your point, Jimmy, it's like the truth is, it's like I am really excited. And I'm always honored because I have the best job in the world when I did Inside Disney Parks and the live streams. It was like I get to bring some Disney magic to people that can't be here. Mm-hmm. And that was the proudest moment for me. And really being excited, like you said, you can't fake it. I was really excited that I'm going to show you Spectro Magic, or I'm going to show you Illuminations, or we're going to watch the Christmas parade and different things like that. I saw a question somebody asked if I got to work with Joe Rohde.
Joe Rohde, yeah. George. Yeah.
George. Hey, George. I did. What was really unique about Joe Rohde, you know, Joe Rohde was, as you all know, the lead Imagineer on at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And I got to interview Joe Rohde when he opened Pandora, and Joe Rohde again was the lead Imagineer creating Pandora, which when it came out, when it opened, we were so excited because we knew Galaxy's Edge was going to be amazing just watching what they did with Pandora that only had one film. But the coolest thing, my story with Joe Rohde was Joe Rohde, when we trained in to learn to be grad students in Dinoland. So just so you know, let me give you you Disney nerds a little bit of insight. Dinoland USA is built up of these things. You have Dinosaur, but in story, Dinosaur is the Dino Institute. It's where the kids go to learn to be paleontologists, and they do experiments and they dig up dinosaurs. So that's the Dino Institute. Restaurantosaurus is where the grad students live and where they eat and where they have a good time. The playground is where the grad students excavate and dig up dinosaurs to take to the Dino Institute. Supposedly they were doing some experiments and they made a time machine inside the Dino Institute. So that is the story of Dinoland USA. Now we're not talking about Chester and Hester's right now, or the Dino the Dino Carnival. This is before that. So the only thing they had was Chester and Hester, who are the people who own that land.
Gotcha.
And nobody was there till the Dinosaur Institute came. And Chester and Hester made up a gift shop, a very tacky gift shop selling stuff. And that was Chester and Hester. So we were the grad students that went to school at the Dino Institute, and we did shows teaching kids about dinosaurs in funny ways. So what happened was, while we were in rehearsal, Joe Rohde showed up and was talking to us, and Joe Rohde gave us an amazing tour of Dinoland USA. He told us all the story. He told us about when you, if you read the signs, there are stories going on, like this character is talking to this character and the dean and the this and the that. And he walked us through and told us about all the invisible characters that we never see that are represented through signs and notes and different things like that. And he just brought Dinoland to life. And I'll never forget how passionate he was, how intriguing and seductive he was just talking about his passion. And Joe Rohde also is an amateur paleontologist. So he knew his stuff. He really did. And we went, when we trained to be Dino grad students, we actually went to Alberta, Canada. So shout out to somebody in Calgary. We went to Alberta, Canada. We went to Drumheller. And we went to the Royal Tyrrell Museum. This person from Canada, they know what I'm talking about. We went to Dinosaur Provincial Park, and we walked in that park, and we actually saw dinosaur bones in the ground. And for about a week, Dr. Phil, who's a well-known paleontologist, gave some speeches to us to give us the idea of what it's like to be a paleontologist and how to, you know, embody that that character, the character of a paleontologist.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And that's, I mean, that's incredible. Just the story behind, behind the story behind that area of Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And I gotta ask you, a couple of years ago, well, we mentioned we go every November to the parks and we kind of meet up with people. We'll do a scavenger hunt. A couple of years ago, I did an Animal Kingdom one. So I did a lot of research into it and I came up with the story that you just told us about Dinoland. It was great. Mm-hmm. When they brought the carnival in, do you guys remember ever seeing or calling the people that worked in the carnival the cousins or cousins versus the scientists?
100%.
Okay,
so, cool. Yeah, so basically what happened was when we had where that carnival is now, there was a giant tent there called the Dinosaur Jubilee. So, little inside note, when you go to Dinosaur, you will see a Tyrannosaurus Rex when you first walk in, not inside the ride. That's a Carnotaurus. It has horns. When you're outside, when you first walk into that area, there's a giant dinosaur, and that dinosaur is called Sue. Mm-hmm. When Dinoland opened, they had just found Sue, and Sue was the largest, at the time, was the largest, most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex ever found in South Dakota, I believe. So they were actually excavating Sue in Dinoland. It was sponsored by McDonald's. You could actually walk up to a tent and you would see an actual paleontologist taking out the rock from around the bone.
Wow. Nice.
And so when they finished it, that's the dinosaur you see there. That dinosaur is Sue, and it was actually completed its excavation at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And now they put it all together. They made a cast of it and it stands out front. Mm-hmm. And in that tent, so when the tent went away, they had the carnival, and what they did to tie it in, they brought in Chester and Hester's cousins, and that's who would run the carnival, because Chester was like, I'm going to have a carnival. And so that's the idea. And if I think, I haven't been there in a long time. If you go into the store, Chester and Hester's, you look up in the corner, you will see a picture of Chester and Hester.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, which is the same person.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Great. Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah. Look at it.
Yeah, I will. Because we had that picture. It was part of the thing. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Chester is Hester.
No way.
But then they had a friend of mine, Carol, and she played a cousin, and it was an animal keeper show. So she would show a bearded dragon and a tarantula, but she thought they were dinosaurs. She was this wacky, crazy cousin.
Nice. Nice. Good story.
This is our friend and co-host, Morgan, the comments. How hard is it to not talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff that you get to see before Disney announces it?
Oh, man. Well, I'll give you a secret. They don't tell me anything. I literally...
You get there, right?
Easy.
Yeah. I would literally get scripts, and it was blank. They'd be like, yeah, you're going to talk here. And I'm like, okay, what am I saying? Well, we can't tell you yet. So it was... what do they call it? Like, if you just don't know, plausible denial or something like that.
Right.
Because people that text me, they'll ask me all kind of questions. And here's when you know I know something. I just won't be on social media.
We just don't see you at all.
Some people that know, they're like, we haven't heard from Mark. Something's going on.
So you're not the best secret keeper. Well, you have to completely alienate yourself from society to keep a secret.
Because you'll see, I'm just totally excited about it. So I just won't talk. They'll be like, Mark, what's going on here? And I won't answer. And he's like, okay, he knows and he's not telling us.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard. But, you know, it's also good to be in on the magic too. You're like, oh, people going to be excited.
Yeah. And then you also, like, man, I'm not a good secret keeper. Like, I got to tell. I always feel like I need to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Just one.
You know how that goes. You can't do that because, you know, that one person. Especially when a lot of your friends are like influencers or, you know, Disney podcasters and YouTubers and stuff like that, because they can't hold on to secrets or crap.
Right.
One of the questions we ask all our guests, and before we let you go, what's your favorite attraction down at Walt Disney World? Like, what is the one ride you got to get on when you go?
At Walt Disney World, the one ride I have to get on is... when I go to Walt Disney World, the ride I have to get on is...
So we're saying, like, hey, Disney's closing, you know, on Thursday, but we're going to let you go tomorrow and ride one attraction one last time.
Pandora. Flight of Passage.
Pandora.
Sorry, Flight of Passage.
Yep, that's a good one.
It'd be Flight of Passage. Now... I don't like talking about Rise of the Resistance. Here's why. Not a lot of people got to experience it. Okay. The ride, and here's why I don't like talking about it. I've ridden it twice. The ride is mind-blowing. And I don't like talking about it anymore because I don't want to talk about it. I want people to ride it. I don't want to tell anybody. It's best to not know what's happening and just write it. So I just stopped talking about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen videos.
Don't let anybody, just don't do it because just don't do it. Don't do a point. Don't do a ride through. Don't do anything because I got to ride it without knowing anything.
I've ridden it twice. Hmm. Mark, I did the same thing as Ed before I rode it. I completely avoided it. But me and our other co-host Sam, we've talked about that, like point of view ride videos and stuff like that. I'm like, it doesn't do it justice. You're just gonna because it's so immersive, you're just not it just doesn't do it justice. So you're better off just not just like you said, just not spoiling it for yourself. I did the same thing with Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railroad. I completely I would not watch a video and same thing. It's so immersive that it's better if you don't, because so many things to see and enter, you know, it's just bananas. Yeah.
That's the one thing about, you know, and you can always, you know, I would say that's the bad thing about sometimes YouTube, but you could choose not to see it. So it's okay. Sure. Some people enjoy that and it makes it even better for them. So not taking that away if you like watching those things, but, I would say Pandora, and I'll tell you why, man, there's something about, and I'm assuming you've all ridden, there's more people that have ridden Flight of Passage than, Rise of the Resistance.
Well, it's been around quite a bit longer.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's something about riding that Banshee and coming out and just looking at that skyline and just looking at those planets and just watching how real that looks. And like, you just want to believe it's real. You just give into it. You just like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. This is real. I want it to be. And it's just, like I say, it's not a religious experience, but it's a spiritual experience. I'm telling you, you know,
So sad when that one, when it starts fading back out at the end of
you don't want to leave.
Sad it's ending.
Yeah.
I want a 10-minute version. I want a 20-minute version.
And you know, what's cool about it is that's the theme of the film, right? So like what we're doing, and that's why it works so perfect, right? You believe it because, Jake Sully plugs into that, right? Mm-hmm. He plugs in. So in reality, he can't walk. He's plugged into that mentally. He's gone into his avatar. And that's what we can easily believe. We believe. And like, if I was Jake Sully, I'd be plugging into my avatar all the time. And that's the feeling we have. When you pull out, even the pull out of it is in story, right? Mm-hmm. Because when Jake pulls out of it, he's back in his wheelchair. He, you know, no spoiler, but that's, you know, that's where he is. That's the character. He's
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And the pre-show in that is just incredible too, as far as leading you into the attraction, the rooms where they scan you and all the
fun. The guy draws me a little bit, but just a little bit.
The who? The guy?
The guy that does the pre-show.
The scientist that leads you through the pre-show.
He's just got weird. He's got like weird pauses and weird. I don't know. Maybe it's just because he's a millennial and I'm old. I don't know.
You know what's interesting about that is. Somebody played, you know, it's strange because in a weird way, I think they did that on purpose.
He's laid back.
He's but he's too laid back, Ed. It's like, weird.
He's like he's not a scientist. He's like way too laid back. He's like, you know, it's
he almost looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. But
so let's not ignore the fact that, well, unless you're listening to audio podcast, today is 4/20. It looked like he was celebrating 420. I'm just saying.
You know, every time I watch it, I'm like, it's so real. I think they made a choice because I think I'm gonna give it way too much credit right now, and this is just my own theory.
Sure.
I think we're so used to the slick. Person coming in like, hey, how you doing? All right, you're in. Okay, here we go. You ready? All right, let's go. Right. And I think it's this kind of like, are you guys ready to do this? And I think it kind of slows you down and you're like, I think so.
I'm not sure I want this guy plugging something in my head.
Right? And I think they made a choice. I don't know.
Look, it works. It works for what they're doing. But I don't want to say it bothers me, but it's just odd. It just stands out. I guess that's the thing.
It does. But Jimmy, check this out. You know what else too? It's genius. When something's wrong and he has to, when it stretches, he's so slow in the real one. When he's stretching, you don't know.
You don't know. I know.
Because he's just like
a couple times. Yeah.
I think I have to scan you guys again. And he's stretching now. You know, it's like, can you put your hand up? You know, and so.
See, I believe that would be more part of the way he acts as opposed to anything else is that, you know what? He can just extend it without you not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty cool how they do that. It took us a couple times to figure out they were actually doing that to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Scans of the bugs and you didn't have bugs and stuff like that. So very fun.
No, you've got them, but we've all got them.
But there's times you didn't have them. That's what threw me off.
Hmm.
And there's times you had to have a double scan. You know, so there's all those weird things.
All right, we'll get one more question, and I'll throw this one in there because we're getting close to an hour. But this one's from my wife, so I have to go see her after we're done. Who's been your favorite co-host to work on any of the Disney specials?
You know, I mean, Jen Fickley Baker and I, you know, we had a good relationship.
You were like,
she was a lot of fun. She's great. She's very, very, very talented person. She's a doctor. I like calling her Dr. JFP.
I didn't know that she was a doctor. That's cool.
Yeah. Now she's writing. She's published two stories in Ground Fiction. And she's doing some reporting on different like resorts and things. So she was a lot of fun. Elise, the first host I had, she was great as well. Those are the two of my favorite. And I would say it would be Jen and Elise. They were fantastic. But you know, but everybody's so great. Everybody works so hard. To be honest with you, Ed and Jimmy, like. You know, when I'm doing, and I would try to show you if I did a live stream, I would sometimes film the other side. Like, you know, it's the rule of thumb. If there's one person in front of the camera, there's 10 people behind that camera working just as hard, you know, making sure everything is great. So when we roll, it's go time. And the team, they were so amazing. So just shout out to the entire Disney broadcast team and the people that worked on Inside Disney Parks and park operations. We had all the way down to the park operations people event. Those people that made sure everything was set, we could turn off BGM if we wanted to, that's background music. You know, we can hold people off. There's so many different people that went into making these things happen live in the theme parks without taking away from the guest experience, which is very important for Walt Disney World. Very much like, do not take away from the guest experience. They came for something, they came to get away, and we do not want to disturb their vacation.
Mm-hmm.
you do the, and this was came from Sam, who couldn't be here because of his COVID shot, but you do the voiceover for the, what is it, the pre-show for the nighttime spectacular, the Christmas spectacular in Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, yeah.
So his request was he needed to hear you say Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, and all of its glory that you do it on the reel. So that's the one thing, because every time I hear it, I'm like, yeah, that's Mark. He kills it every time, because it's like, Jingle Bam.
Hey, this was Sam, right?
Yeah, this was Sam.
Sam, this is for you, man. Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam.
There you go.
Nice. He'll love it.
That was a lot of fun. I got to work with the show director, Tom Vizzana, who directed that. And he was explaining it to me. And he's like, hey, Mark, you know, here's what I want. Here's what he wanted for Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. He wanted everyone singing along, and they didn't care what they sounded like. He wanted families singing. He said, Mark, I want families having a good time. I want them walking out of the park singing. And that's the energy for this show. I want it fun. I want it silly. So what I want is this kind of Wolfman Jack kind of thing. I don't want the regular, like, all right, everyone, get ready. You know, it's time for the show. Right. You know, he wanted that. All right, everybody, get a rocking good time. Jingle bell, jingle bam. You know, and he wanted that. And he wanted people. He wanted families to be saying jingle bell, jingle bam. He wanted the fireworks. So he really, that was his vision for the show. And, you know, and I think it accomplished that. I think it was a favorite. Yep. I think they kept bringing it back. I think it was a lot of fun. And just silly. And it's one of the few shows where they say hello to Orlando.
Right.
Say, hey, Orlando. So it referenced itself as a show, which is funny.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Pretty meta.
Breaking the fourth wall or something like that. Well, we've gone about an hour, and I want to be respectful of your time, Mark, and we appreciate you coming on. Definitely. Ed, any final questions?
Nah, Mark, you answered my question about the cousins. That was the main one.
Oh, yeah. How did you know about the cousins? Like, how did you?
I just did some research on it. I was able to find a couple stories on the whole this lineup with the scientists and such like that. When you worked at the Comedy Warehouse, how soon was that before the spring Downtown Disney closed?
It was a while. I worked at Comedy Warehouse, but it was a while before it closed up. Really, I'm bad with like really remembering when Pleasure Island really closed to become Downtown Disney and Disney Marketplace.
Not at all. I was just curious how long ago it was.
Did you work with Miss Carol Stein?
Carol Stein. Oh yes, I still work with Miss Carol Stein. Carol Stein is a virtuoso.
She's been on, and we make sure. Like I go see her, and she comes out and tells me hello every time I'm there.
Carol Stein can make it look like I can sing, which is no easy job. Carol Stein, I'll start singing, and Carol will go to my key. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what key I'm in, but Carol will find it, and she will make it work.
Oh, nice.
Shout out to Carol Stein. And she is amazing. I mean, the catalog of songs in that woman's head, and what she does with the fingers, it's amazing. And my oh goodness, you know, shout out to Carol Stein, too. I mean, when we were in lockdown, Carol would play. She would go on and play live, and it brought so much magic to people. And she played from her house with her husband, and he did a puppet show. And it was some magic that people needed. So, and she was one of the first people to go back to work. And hey, Tati, what's up, Tati? She was one of the first to go back to work, and we were so happy that Carol Stein was brought back, because she was
right.
She never stopped making magic.
I stay in pretty close contact. I mean, I don't want to say we're like best friends, but when I'm down, you know, I've been down four times, I think, since COVID. And every time I'm there, you know, I always reach out and try and go see her at World Showplace or wherever she's playing. And I think it's, I think it's great that they found a spot for her, because I think she's amazing. She really is.
She is amazing. She's a gem, and she reminds me of Pam Brody. Pam Brody is also, I don't know if anybody knows Pam Brody. She played at the Rose and Crown for many years.
Oh,
Carol. Carol started playing there. Mm-hmm. But Pam Brody was another legend, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they open up Port Orleans Riverside so they can bring Yeehaw Bob back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never got to see. I know him. I know of him, but I never got to see his show. I know he was. I know people love him.
Yep. Oh, his show is so. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost what you were talking about before, just fun, like sing along, get everybody up out of their seats, make them do crazy things. I mean, it's mm-hmm. lots and lots of fun. He's another one that's super, super talented.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's why we're so, you know, shout out to, you know, the Disney nerds out there. You know, the performers at Walt Disney World, you know, a lot of them are not on furlough anymore, but like really. Not being able to come back really took a blow to us, because all of us work because we love doing what we do, and we love doing it for people like you guys. You know, you guys that come to see us and appreciate it and want to sing along and play, and us getting to do it. You know, a lot of times I'm not going to speak for everyone. I took it for granted, and when it went away, it was tough. You know, and like I said, you know, a lot of people lost jobs. You know, everybody, not just performers. There's a thing about, we never thought Disney would go anywhere. Like if you talk to any performer, like Disney's not going anywhere. This is it. I might not be here, but it's going to keep going.
Right.
So, it's closed like three times in like what, 20 years or something like that. Ridiculous.
So this is what we went through, and what we're going through right now is historic. And I'm just glad we're on seeing the other end of it, and we're all still here. And the people, shout out to the people that are not still here, but you know, we're still here, and thank you. Just thank you to everybody for keeping the magic alive, because it's not just Walt Disney World keeping the magic alive. It's about
Everyday life. Real people.
Yeah, everyday life, you know, and I always say you have to believe in magic to make it. So I believe magic is real, and we make it.
Yeah. Tati's got one last question. I'll give her the last question. Have we talked about Star Wars Celebration, and are you coming back with Elliot?
Oh man! Well, you know, we haven't talked. Secret,
we know he would crack already.
You know that they don't tell me anything. They don't tell me anything. But we did talk Star Wars Weekends, but Star Wars Celebration. But we just talked about Galactic Nights. But everybody's talking about like it's coming back next year. I mean, that's the buzz. And if it does come back, I think it's supposed to come back to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. And thank you from the cast members as well. You know, if it's coming back and they ask me to come back, I'm dropping everything. Tati, you know, I'm going to be there. You know, I'm going to be there with Elliot. And, you know, that's family right there. That's family. Mm. You know, it'd be so crazy. I don't know if we go back and we're out of COVID and, you know, I can't imagine it now, because you know how crowded Star Wars Weekend. I mean, Star Wars Celebration is people waiting in line and stuff. But when we get back to that point, I'm just going to do the biggest group hug you've ever seen.
I imagine it'll be probably the quickest. Like once they announce it, it'll sell out quicker probably than any other Star Wars Celebration, because people are so eager to get back to some normalcy and, you know, back to that life. People miss it. So.
Sure. Yeah, and then there's so much new Star Wars content, right? So people just want to go because they want to see the Mandalorian panel. What's next? They want to see the Book of Fett panel. They want to see the Obi-Wan panel and any other spinoffs and Bad Batch. And, you know, there's so much. Yeah, there's so much content, you know, which is good, too, because I was in the camp, too, like when they were announcing all the films. I was a little worried, you know. I was a little worried of Star Wars fatigue, because the films, like, you know, I don't know. I'm in the camp of I don't mind waiting.
Right.
But that's true. I think they've done a good enough job of taking stories from different sides of the galaxy to where it's not Star Wars fatigue. Because you look at The Mandalorian, it's not. It's almost like a space western. It's so much different than anything else. Than Star Wars, you don't get too burnt out on. You get enough little Easter eggs in there hidden in. You feel the Star Wars, but it's so different than anything else that's been done that it doesn't burn you out. So that's
And I'm glad they're doing it that way too. You know, I'm glad I like the Disney Plus line of series, and you're right, it doesn't burn you out. Where, because I think there's a lot, the films, there's a lot to live up to, not in a bad way. It's just there's a lot riding on them, you know, and it's so much to focus on. Like, it's a lot of characters where you can narrow it down and you can just have an episode focusing on, you know, three characters.
Sure.
But I am excited because I think one day we'll have enough of the series to actually focus on a villain.
Sure.
I think we can have a series. This is no fact. This is Mark Daniel talking. I think we could have a series. We follow an Imperial officer.
I like that. Sooner than later, who will be crossing with perhaps other main villains of the series. Like, you know, he works on the ship with Vader. Or he works on the ship with Tarkin or something.
Yeah,
definitely.
Backstory of, like, Captain Phasma.
Yeah.
Or backstory of General Grievous.
Yeah, because he was a flesh and blood being.
He was a decorated warrior, general, and then interesting. All good stuff. There's so many directions they can go. That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. This time I'm really gonna let you go.
Well, thank you. I just want to say thank you, Jimmy and Ed. This has been fantastic. This was fun. You know, I'm not gonna say I like talking about myself, but I like sharing any tidbits, and I know the Disney nerds out there like talking about, you know, past parades and different things like that, because you know, and you're asking me about the cousins and different things like that. There was so much entertainment and storyline that you know, us performers live through and have to learn about. So thanks for asking those questions. You know, I love the questions and I love talking, sharing my experience with some of the shows and events I've been involved in.
We'll have to invite you back on and do a whole show just kind of on Star Wars.
That should be easy. Excellent. Well, thanks again, Mark. Really appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate it. Great talking to you. Great kind of meeting you. I guess not in person, but maybe we can do that soon. Me and Ed will actually be in Orlando next month, so maybe we can get together and
Let me know. I'm getting married, though, and then I'm out.
I was going to say, you'll be busy.
Yeah.
but just give me a shout out. But, you know, you said something very interesting, Jimmy, that you have never been to Disneyland.
I have not.
No, we get on about that.
We were supposed to go. Me and my wife were supposed to go this past January, but it wasn't open, obviously. So
yeah.
I'm in New Orleans, so Disney World is always, you know, I'm an annual pass holder in Disney World, and Disney World's a $79 Southwest flight.
Yeah.
So in an hour, you know, an hour.
There's a cruise, right? Disney, well, not right now, but in 2022, I think there's a Disney Cruise Line has a port there now. And
they do. It's seasonal, but they did put a ship here. I mean, they put a ship here, and then right after that, we shut down for COVID.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like. I've never done a cruise either, believe it or not.
Okay.
My kids are, 21 and 19.
Okay.
So we do adult, you know, me and my wife do adult trips to Walt Disney World, but I really do want to go to, I mean, I am a Disney nerd, and I do want to walk in Walt's footsteps and do the land trip.
Yeah, that's the thing I was saying. The thing about Disneyland is when you walk through it, it's cool because you know that, you know, this is what Walt came up with, you know, it's cool. You know, and the castle is
underwhelming.
You know, I can't say that, but you're like, okay. But you know, it's like, okay, Walt built this, y'all. Come on now.
Yeah. I said it's so much more. I mean, and Disney World is closely connected to Walt, but Disneyland is so much more connected directly to Walt that it's
true.
Yeah, I definitely want to do it. It's going to happen. Once things get to normal, me and my wife's going to take a trip for sure.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed because when I do go to my honeymoon, I'm going to Hawaii. But at the time, Disneyland will be open, but I don't think I'll be able to go because it's probably going to be open only for residents of California. So
wow,
early.
Yeah. My fiance has never been to Disneyland. So
are you going to Aulani? Or are you just going to
I'm going to Aulani. Yep. Yep.
Nice.
Going to Aulani.
Beautiful place.
Staying there for a little bit, and then going. Then we're going to staying in a hotel. Staying at Aulani first, and then Waikiki.
Nice.
Beautiful. So,
yeah. Well, congratulations on your wedding. And,
thank you.
Man, that's exciting. That's a great honeymoon. So congratulations on that. And then once you get back, we'll have you back on. We'll do something else crazy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. This has been fun. See you later, Disney nerds. Thanks for having me, Jimmy and Ed. Everybody have a good night. Bye.
Good night.
Good night, you guys. Kwaharini.
Bye-bye, guys. Thanks for listening and watching.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token